hills are alive with the sound of peaches.
Hey, all right, I'm Elsa.
And I'm Heather.
We are Beelzebub.
And this is Too Spicy.
Too Spicy! Hey. Okay, so we need theme music?
Apparently.
We need theme music. Just throwing that out there if anyone's got capabilities for theme music tonight.
And or peaches, maybe.
Peaches? Okay, if peaches, if you're listening.
Yes.
If you're listening,
you to shake your dick this way.
So tonight, we are, this is a special episode. We have Beelzebub on the road.
Ooh.
Beelzebub about the town. We are at the LGBT center, the center here in Manhattan, 13th Street. But inside of the center is what I would even just like to call maybe the brain, the nerve center, the heart,
the gem of the center,
the gem of the center, the Bureau of General Services Queer Division. And we have the owner, curator, and the diva here with us tonight of the Bureau.
One out of two.
Welcome, Greg Newton.
Thank you very much.
Yay.
So I am part one out of two. Donnie Jokum, who is at home.
Donnie couldn't come tonight.
Donnie has a full-time job. That allows us to do this.
Thank God for that.
He's got to travel tomorrow early, so he's at home.
So tell us a little bit about the space. Like, I mean, I've been knowing you guys for a while.
We started in 2012. The fantasy for it began in 2011, shortly, really not so long after Donnie and I met.
So cute.
I know. I like to say we got pregnant early.
Oh, with the book baby.
And with a book baby. Yeah. And we were just walking where A Different Light used to be, which was an LGBT bookstore, first in the West Village, then in Chelsea. And we were walking by there, and we said, when did this close? And we couldn't remember. And then we said, wait, when did Oscar Wilde close? Which used to be on Christopher Street, the first LGBT bookstore, well, let's face it, at that point it was L&G. In North America, the world, I think.
Okay.
Oscar Wilde Memorial Bookshop.
History, y'all.
Mm-hmm. And we couldn't remember when either one closed, and we just were like, that's awful. New York City does not have a queer bookstore? That's embarrassing.
You gotta be the change.
On behalf of New York City. Like, this is a mecca. This is where people come to flee the homophobia of their hometowns.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no queer bookstore.
And you have a really fun phrase about the Bureau.
Yes.
That
I kind of developed later.
Right.
But yes, I like to say that we are a government agency for a government that does not yet exist.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
I love that. It's literally the be the change.
Yeah.
It is.
Because we need to build our... I mean, I obsessively read the news and look at the news, for mostly for worse. And I just think, like, wow, it is just all crumbling around us. So we better start preparing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that that's totally new, but...
It's not totally new.
No, it's not new. But it just seems more urgent now. And, like, we need to build structures as ones that maybe we used to rely on or assume were there are just clearly not functioning.
Yeah, that was also another one of the things I wanted to ask you. So, I mean, this is not just a bookstore.
Yeah, we didn't want to put the word bookstore in our name because of that. We thought people would hear bookstore and they'd think, oh, that's cute, that's going to last 5 minutes.
Right.
Because, I mean, all the others closed. And so many bookstores have closed.
Yep.
But especially queer bookstores, feminist bookstores, anything that's not a general bookstore, it's doubly, triply hard.
Yeah, especially as a physical space.
Yeah, like, and rent
in New York City,
in New York City is ridiculous, as is very obvious. So we first said, like, we should do it with a bar. because we just thought, like, how could we possibly do this? And actually, our original intention was to have a cafe bar as part of it. We just never got there.
That's still a good idea. Keep that one under the hat.
Trust me, I would love that. I mean, I would love for it to be a bigger space, a fuller space. We could do more. But right now we have this. The center is letting us use this room. They charge us rent, but it's super low.
Yeah.
And it's allowing us to survive and function.
And I appreciate the space. I've done shows here. I've hosted shows here. And just earlier tonight was my cop watch. I do cop watches.
Yeah.
Again, you guys,
that's
hire me for a cop watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about this space, is that it hosts all kinds of events. It's not just about a bookstore. It's not just about going and buying things, but creating community.
Yeah. And, yeah, we just... One of the best pieces of advice we got was from the queer artist A.A. Bronson.
Name drop. Said,
name drop. who said, say yes more than you say no.
That's great.
Okay.
And just stay open.
Yeah.
And be open.
You because never know where things will lead.
Yeah, and we, you know, we never thought, like, oh, we're starting a business to make money. I mean, we're not stupid. We knew this was not going to be a moneymaker, but we felt like I knew I was going to be losing my job in a year.
Yeah.
So I had some advance notice, and it was like, well, what am I going to do? And I had really lost faith in academia. I don't know what took me so long, but I thought that that was going to be a career for me, teaching art history, teaching. I believed in teaching, and
colleges are going through a crisis. I mean, they have been for a while, but like it's
the general crisis of our culture. Like everything has to be about making money. Everything has to be about business.
And now that we're,
and that's just not healthy. It's not.
No,
it's destructive.
Speaking of culture crises,
where to begin?
Whoa. So,
speaking of colleges in particular, Berkeley is now not hosting the free speech week long thing.
It's super hard to keep up with, dog. Like,
it's just been this back and forth, and Berkeley's been bending over backwards to try and make it safe, quote unquote, for free speech conference. And I don't even know how to phrase comprehend that.
But you know, it's been a busy week and I say that every goddamn time we do this podcast, because it really is. And then so, you know, speaking of free speech and censorship, we have our God, it shudders me when I imagine him as our president every time. I've not gotten used to that, but we have our president has spent his week attacking players, ball players, sports
and
figures,
to destroy a country of 27 million people.
Yeah, you know,
last week before that he threatened the career of a journalist, and then now he's threatening sports players
but this is the free speech. These are the free speech people, though. Aren't these the free speech people, though?
Well, not that kind of speech.
Well, no. Well, here's the thing, though. Very obvious over who gets the free speech, right? Because just a few days ago or last week, you had Miss Texas, blonde white woman, young, pretty, attractive white woman, pretty much says the same exact things that Jemele Hill has said, right?
Donald Trump is a white supremacist.
That Donald Trump is a white supremacist, right?
Because Donald Trump is a white supremacist.
Because Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Let's not, you know.
I think he's a Donald supremacist.
Donald.
Yes, yes.
He's a Donald supremacist, but Donald is white.
I feel no, it's true, it's true. But I just feel like he would throw everybody under the bus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why the doors of the White House have been, like, constantly
rotating. He would throw
everyone
under the bus, but except for the Nazis, though, because he's thrown now.
Yeah.
You know, and just this week, we've got a body count of people that Trump has gone after. So, you know, we've got Colin Kaepernick, you know, who he called a son of a bitch. He had those words. He had those words for Kaepernick.
I didn't hear that. Yes, he actually called him a son of a bitch.
I mean, nothing. I don't know if anything.
This was just on Friday, right?
Yeah,
it was the Friday rally.
Yeah. And what is, I mean, first off, you can't,
You can't do that. You can't do that for someone exercising their free speech. But are we also not going to, just on a smaller note, are we also going to discuss him using the words bitch? You know, like, in an actual speech, though? Like,
I mean, please. The man started the campaign with Mexicans are rapists.
I got you, but that's not saying Mexicans are fucking rapists. You know?
Right. It's
you
not
know what I'm, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, I mean,
where do you draw the line?
Like, yo, this is a speech. Like, it's one thing to say that you don't like Kaepernick or you think the guy should lose his job even, but like, son of a bitch? Like, what?
He called the leader of another nation Rocket Man.
And that's
Rocket
cute, Man. But that's
and
not...
And granted, that's a crazy... He's crazy. Kim Jong-un is crazy. They're both crazy.
Is he?
Yeah. I think they're both crazy. Though?
He's been bullied.
Oh, of course he has.
But
yeah.
Is he, though?
I mean...
He inherited a crazy situation, but I think he's crazy.
But is he, though?
I mean, I've never met the man.
North Korea is kind of one it's of Elsa's things.
It's a fucked up situation.
Guys,
and
I
then
have...
the more we go down this path and the more Trump bullies him, like, the more sympathy that I start to, like, feel.
Right.
Because it's just, like, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Yeah. You know, and this is one of the things that I keep going back to. It's like, you know, is Trump any worse than any other president that we've had? Like,
hell yes,
on a lot of metrics, but on other metrics, right? And so, like,
he's sustaining. I mean, many of the systems that are in place
exactly
keep marching
right along.
I mean, he's being more dramatic and more vocal about
the
process. So
civility.
One, he's not being civil, and he's also
which I thought we were dropping when W was in charge. I was like, wow, the facade's really gone. And now I'm like, oh, girl, you had
no idea
how bad it could get.
Oh, that was cute, almost.
Yeah, axis of evil.
Like, oh, my God. I want Bush flubs. Those were cute when he couldn't remember how to, you know.
I had a little book of Bushisms.
It was awful, but it was cute.
I think.
Yeah.
Nuclear, I think, was totally on purpose.
Low trying to dumb himself down to be cute.
Like, girl, you went to Yale and Harvard, and you are from Protestant white privilege. You don't say nuclear.
You know how to pronounce
it. You're doing that.
That
on purpose.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, okay. So we're supposed to tomorrow, hashtag take a knee. Donald Trump is called Kaepernick a son of a bitch, right? That is a direct slap in the face. That is like pulling a dick out on someone.
With such a huge industry like the NFL, trying to like shame them about how to do business is epic. And I think is only going to bring life to the protest, bring life to more people taking a knee, to more people boycotting. Which is interesting.
I hope so.
What do you do for the anthem? Because I have decided that I am going to be ridiculous during the anthem now. When the anthem plays, I'm going to do jumping jacks. I'm going to start swimming on the ground.
Cars on fire.
I'm a break dance, bitch. Like, you thought I was taking a knee. I'm doing a head spin. What is the most ridiculous thing you can see yourself doing during the anthem?
God, I don't know. Fingering myself.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's a good one. God,
yes. Can you wipe the finger on the flag? Okay. All right.
I'll get killed, sure.
But, okay, well,
but I might get killed
within
anyway.
Your safety zone, okay? Your booty hole is your own safety zone. Do that, okay. All right, sorry. I was already getting way too carried away. Heather?
Yeah. I mean, in what scenario am I listening to the anthem or would be, like, I don't see myself going to any of those events.
Fuck that. I'm ready to buy tickets to all sorts of games just for the anthem part.
Yeah.
You're going to give them your money?
Okay, no, I'm a bootleg. I'm going to get a bootleg ticket. I'm going to get a scalper ticket, you know, because that helps the black economy, okay?
Right.
That helps.
Support black business.
Support black business, okay? So I'm going to see my homeboy with the scalpy tickets, and I'm going to go just for the anthem. I'm going to come at the anthem, and then when the anthem plays, I'm going to pull out, like, a whole extra chair. Like, you know, I'm going to go sit in the aisle. I'm going to bring a lazy boy to recline. Like, not only am I
laying down for the anthem.
Yes. I'm going to lay the fuck. I'm a plank. Mm-hmm. I'm a plank for the fucking
planking.
I'm going to bring back planking just for the anthem. And then when it's done, leave. Just
That was my show.
That was it.
I gave you a show.
You're welcome. Hey,
mates.
You're welcome.
And scene, bitches. Okay, Heather, no, so that's the context. We're at
okay.
We're at a game. You're at a game.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing? Are you sitting?
Is there maybe if there's empty seats, lay across the seats.
Lay across the seats.
I feel like laying would be nice.
Lay across the seats.
Or laying across the steps. I don't know. Could do some can kicks. Okay. That might be fun.
Yeah. Because I'm like, at this point, fuck the silent protest, right? He was
make
so,
some noise.
He was so silent with his protest and phone. And just got on his knee. Do you know? But here's the other thing. Here's a question I think. Are people who are upset about this, are they also standing in their house? Because that would be weird.
That would be weird.
Is that a thing that people do?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but...
I feel like if we're upset about Colin Kaepernick, you need to stand in your apartment.
Get off your couch.
Stand up for the anthem. At your house, too. Yeah, be weird about it. Yep.
Yeah.
If you want everyone else to be weird about it, you be weird about it, too. Yeah.
Put on your little Nazi uniform and do the salute.
Do it.
Go all out.
But, you know, he's still without a job. You know,
he's already risked it,
but also was what MVP for week one without even being signed on a team.
Oh, that's right. You said something about that.
Like that's
crazy.
That's, and here's the thing that blows my mind. I don't know how it works, but it works. They bit some rules, I guess.
Sports stupid. I don't even know what that means.
I don't get it either, but whatever, it happened.
He's playing somewhere.
Doesn't make economical sense for him not to be on a team. This is something that I come back to often, how expensive racism is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you know that the 49ers have made so much money off of this kid's jersey? You know?
Mm.
People who are not into football are watching just to see what the fuck Kaepernick does.
Yeah.
You know? So if any team that picks him up, do you know how much money you're going to make in Kaepernick merchandise?
Right.
And I'm like, I mean, that's...
But it's also balanced with, like, risks in our perspective. So online, at least for me, I see all the support for Kaepernick. But what is the reality across the entire NFL? Yes, maybe for the 49ers, he's brought in a lot of money. But for the larger picture of the entirety of NFL, like... Maybe it's really not that much. Maybe it really is a legitimate fear of losing too much income for him.
So this goes to my
him.
Point of the boycott that I think we were starting to talk about earlier today, and I think we disagree on this.
We're trying to have a disagreement here?
I think we have a little disagreement on
tension.
Tension. I think a boycott could be very effective of the NFL. Mm. They make so much money. And you're right. Some people are like, okay, they're going to make their money with or without me. So they don't have to make their money with me.
Right.
They never made any money.
Yeah, I mean, they never made any money for me either. So I will admit to not being as invested in, like, the sport aspect. I mean, I appreciate it in a different way being with you and seeing the value of being behind a sports team and the camaraderie and the identity and community it gives. But I don't have the same
attachment. I still
support
the Broncos. I don't have to watch the game to know the score. Like, you know, like...
I just watched for the Super Bowl, the performance at the
halftime show?
Yeah. Like, oh, Madonna's performing? Oh, okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
That's all I care
appreciate
about.
You being honest about that.
And when I was a kid and we went to baseball games and shit, I was just like, I want hot dogs, I want peanuts, I want all that stuff, but... I did not care. I just did not care.
That's fine. But guess what? You could get hot dogs and peanuts, you know what I'm saying? A million other places.
Which is why I don't go to games.
I'm just saying, black people used to boycott things that really, like, hurt them, right? Like, not being able to ride the bus.
Right.
You know, like, we boycotted, and now you can't tell a nigga not to watch a game?
Yeah.
But our whole society has changed since the 50s. Like, the boycotts do not look like what they did back then. They're not as effective as they were back then. So that's what my critique and my beginning of disagreement before is about that. Like, the power of boycott has diminished. And,
it does. I don't think so. Because when they lose a share of their audience, when they lose a share of people watching, That's what they make.
How many people do you think it's going to take for them to really lose a share? Like 80% of their viewers? Maybe.
Nah, not even 80%. Bro, you start messing around with like 5 and 10% of their money, they'd be like, they be hurting off of that. Like,
NFL? Right.
And so, yes. So, I mean, not hurting, but they want as much money. They'll notice. Yeah.
So, okay. So they're hurting a little bit. And then what is their solution? Like I was watching on ESPN the other day, they're proposing an activism month for NFL. So it's a corporatization of protest. So, okay, they'll placate to a little bit in order to shut people up. So we don't really have any power here. We have enough to kind create a little rub and then have them do something, but it's not.
Don't buy into the placate shit. I just believe that an extended, targeted boycott would work. And honestly, it really just starts with not watching the show, dude. If there's a show
I've
on TV.
I've been boycotting for years.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a show on TV you don't watch and they realize enough people aren't watching it, they make changes, dude. And that might make the show better or worse, but it does something. Stop watching it.
I mean, I would never say don't boycott, and I think that is a power. I mean, part of why I went vegan initially was because I wanted to live my politics. I wanted to put my money and my life in a way that felt good to me and not put money towards certain things. But I think it's important to envision things beyond that, that like what we perceive as our own economic power is very small. And it's actually part of the delusion of modern society is thinking that it's all up to us as individuals. If we just change this light bulb to a green light bulb, then
I'm doing my
part. Global warming will change, but it's not about that.
And you know what? And I feel you there too. But it's also very empowering to say, I am making a choice not to do this thing.
Right.
And then once you start making those little choices, like easily as not watching football on Sunday, that makes it easier to not buy this bad product. You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta start the fuck somewhere. And eventually, if enough of us stop watching football, something happens, B. It might, all of our individual effort is tiny on it, but it takes enough of us to stop watching. They make millions and billions of dollars off of us. Off of us.
I think, sometimes psychologically it can be so good to, like, you need to do it for yourself and you feel empowered. I'm making this decision. I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point you get to a place where you're like, okay, this is doing nothing. Maybe I am feeling good about myself and I'm patting myself on the back and maybe I can be more effective somewhere else.
Right. I mean, that's why green product industry is so successful is because it allows us to feel like we have some power in our economic choices when ultimately we are powerless around global warming. We are powerless around racism the way it exists right now.
Yeah.
So making these tiny choices, like in capitalism, using money as our source of power is capitalism.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that we have the power to do and not to do,
Can I get another beer?
You have the power to get another beer.
Yay!
Step away for a beer. I wanted to talk about the company we keep. Company we keep. Who we let in and out of our circles, right?
Oh, yeah.
We got to keep you around.
It's like
just
a beer
for
ad.
Keep you around just for side effects, Donnie. All right,
drink responsibly.
Greg and Donnie are going to be our sound effect.
Cool and refreshing.
You were the tension sound effect, and now you're the cool and refreshing sound effect. I just need the we're going to talk about something risque, and then you got to bow. Okay. See, look at you. You got it. Okay. Anyway, speaking of the company that you keep, you have the power to your circle. And we just had the, what was this shit? The fucking Emmys?
I think it was the Emmys.
Fucking Emmys?
I stopped paying attention to
the
shows.
I don't know the names of
awful.
The shows
I just hear
anymore.
About the drama.
Yeah. I watch the drama on Twitter and Facebook. I don't watch the award shows. But we just had the Emmys. And guess who shows up at the Emmys?
Spicy.
Yeah, why?
Why was he there? Not only
why
was he
was
there,
he
was welcomed.
He was interviewed for an article that I read the next day. And he was commenting on how surprised he was about everybody was so nice to him and like taking because selfies and hugs. Because no one should have
been nice to him.
No one should have been nice to him.
And he knows that in his heart, mm-hmm. that no one should be nice to him.
He knows he is a terrible human and he's done terrible things.
And I'll tell you this much, if my boycott don't work, if fighting a Nazi don't work, you're sure as hell I'm not going to be buddy-buddy with you, or we're not going to let you come to my party and like, you know, like what's changed? Yeah, he's never. Weird.
There's no apology. Even... There's been nothing. Like he just.
Oh, now that I'm not out there. In that position, we can let it all.
And
go.
I can cash in on this joke about me, but not take any responsibility.
No, you were awful. Exactly. You're still awful. Like,
yeah, they should have had Melissa McCarthy there doing.
Right, that's what I said. It was like, why wasn't she up there impersonating him? That would have been funny. I would.
Yeah, I mean,
cheer that on.
I love her impression of him.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I literally could watch that all day. Also, he's not, I mean, y'all, he's ugly. So, like.
He's strange looking.
He's his lips are like the same color as his face. He doesn't have lips is really what it is. And then his eyes are weird. He's got the
entire Trump cabinet. They all look diseased. There's different versions of diseases, different stages of decomposition.
It's that evil like, manifesting on your face, you know? Each of them look like a different plague, you know? It looks like a different horseman of the apocalypse. Yeah. Or so. Like, it would be better if they were evil and good-looking, right? That's what I was trying to. I was trying to tell somebody that I don't think that Trump is the Antichrist, because the Antichrist, if you read the Bible, is described as charming and good looking, and we would all love the Antichrist, right? Like, there's no way Trump is the Antichrist because he's not even good looking, y'all. Like, he's not. Like, what is? I mean, ew. Ew. And none of them look good, dude. Kellyanne Conway looks like a wet paper bag that got dried back out. Like, what is?
And I can never stop thinking about what was it, Akilah's skit about Bannon putting like ham on her face. It was like mayo and shout ham out. And like
shout out to Akilah, obviously, who Akilah obviously has a video.
It was so beautiful. I like
where it's a makeup tutorial where you're doing your makeup to look like Sean Spicer.
Bannon.
Sorry, Bannon. Yeah. Steven. I think she just like rubs mayonnaise all over her face and then
ham and then like
pieces of pepperoni and ham.
He doesn't look well.
He looks like a homeless ham sandwich.
A stale one.
A homeless ham sandwich. Like,
it's, I hate to hate on the homeless.
No.
Sandwich itself. Like the sandwich they give out that's like the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. Sort of.
The bum sandwich, you know?
Like the stuff that's
the
like...
prison sandwich. The jail sandwich, you know? Not a homeless person. The ham sandwich itself is homeless. And that's what he looks like. It's got a fuzz.
Yeah, there's some mold on it.
It's not well. Something is wrong.
He appears to be covered in a light film. You know, like he's ever so slightly sticky. Yeah. You know, And I say stick like an onomatopoeia. Like he's stick. Yeah, he looks like when you touch him, it's moist.
Yeah. Not well.
Or like, one of those memory foam. You know, but like not in the like ooh soft memory foam way. Like ooh, you're dying. That's falling off of you, right? Yeah, he's dying. It's the evil within.
Yeah.
So you guys, that's my beauty tip.
You know, my beauty. Mayo and ham. On your face.
My beauty tip is to not be hateful because it wears on your face.
No, it does. Yeah. It does. It kills our souls. So, well, no, you know, hateful white people. Here's the thing:
Trump is probably going to live forever.
Yeah, Nazis live forever. I once had a really great art history professor. Crazy, loved her. Jewish, Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, "The Nazis, they live forever."
It's true.
Something about the hate in your heart, like it does. Like,
it preserves you like an ice around.
Live till like 100 and something, like. Why?
It's not a pretty old. It's not a good looking old.
It's not a good looking old, but you just don't die.
She was scary looking at the end.
Well, what happens is the hate either burns you up super quick and consumes you early, or it forms an icy locker around your heart and just saves you like a hate-filled Ziploc in the freezer or something. I don't know. It's awful. So,
yeah, but there is something to
he
that.
Is probably going to live forever. We want him. Jesus. I'm like, because every day I'm just like, I'm waiting for him to have a heart attack.
Please, God. Please.
Like, it's just, it's
please,
going.
Please, God, I don't believe.
Because you know, you see the way he eats. He's got to have a heart attack soon. Anyway.
I just, yeah. Every day I am hoping, like, come on. Come on, something's Mueller. Come on. Bring it. That's, bring it. When's it going to come? But of course.
It'll come too late, dog.
Well,
it's
going to
come too late.
Of course, and then if he's gone, then there's Pence, so. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not about, I mean, it is about the figurehead, but it's also about, like, all the people that are now in place, like, across the board, like, not positions that we know about, but the other ones, and
it's
dismantling.
It's like a pimple. Okay, you got to pop the head, right? And then you get the goo-goo from underneath it, too.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
but
you
got to.
Underneath
you gotta,
this pimple has deep.
It's deep in there, but you still gotta pop the head. You gotta get Trump out of there, yo.
Right.
By hook or by crook, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, he is.
Also, because I have a bet that there's a pool at the creek in the cave.
Trying to win some money here.
What's us?
There's an impeachment pool at the creek in the cave. It's
what's the creek in the cave?
It's a comedy club in Long Island City.
Oh, okay.
And so, right around the inauguration, right after the election, but right before the inauguration, you could put $10 down on any date in the next 4 years. And whether you think it doesn't matter how he's gone, whether by resignation, impeachment,
assassination,
natural death, or whatever. The day that you think Trump is done, and you put $10 down on that, and everyone who's put their money in, you win. You half of the money goes to the ACLU, half of the money goes to you. So you put $10 down.
I knew you were a representative of this.
I'm no. God damn it, me and this.
Yeah.
But
are we really excited about that now?
I was so.
Am I excited about half of the money going to the ACLU, or am I excited about?
Yeah, that part.
No, I'm not excited about that.
Okay,
no, I'm not excited about.
Dig at that a little bit.
I've spoken about this on podcasts previous. If you want to donate money, stop donating money to the nonprofit industrial complex. Donate your money to the Bureau, you guys.
Yeah.
Donate your money.
Like,
donate your money directly to people, places, and things.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the ACLU takes cases for the alt-right, you know? So.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bureau, I was going to ask you a question.
Okay.
In our, you know, last few minutes. What is your favorite new book right now?
Yes.
I am reading right now Queer by David Getsy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, pointing doesn't help on
yeah.
the sound.
Cool. It's okay.
I'm pointing over there.
What is it? Say it again.
Queer, edited by David Getsy. And it's a compilation of mostly artists who identify as queer and their statements. So it's
just
bunch
about
of,
their art practices.
About their art practices. Some of it is from interviews. Some of it is statements they've made or writings.
And Greg, where can we find this book?
You can find this right here at the Bureau of General Services Queer Mission, 208 West 13th Street, in the LGBT Community Center, room 210.
Uh-huh.
Boom. That was a nice little twang. I like that.
That was beautiful.
That made me.
Yeah, last time I was here, I feel like either every time or every other time I have to get a book, or somebody I bring with me gets a book. So. Last time I was here, I got the Crunk Feminist Collective.
Sweet.
Yeah, and that has been really feeding me. I read a lot slower these days than I did before, so I pick it up and I put it down.
You're getting older.
No. It's just, honestly, I've just lost interest in a lot of reading, which is bad for my intellectual health. But
I think we're all used to little snippets now.
Yeah,
yes.
We are.
Oh, bro.
Which is why an anthology helps.
Yes, which is why this book helps.
Yeah.
Because it is essays and little bits and little stories and stuff like that. And so I highly recommend that. And I follow some of the writers on Twitter too. So my suggestion would be the Crunk Feminist Collective.
Excellent.
And I mean, I can't help but shout out Vanishing New York, which I have not read yet, but I've read enough that, like, I can't wait. And it's
Jeremiah's. He's going to be reading here on Thursday.
Oh, he is this week. Oh, yes. Well, that was perfect timing.
Hey. Plug.
Plug. Thursday. What date, just in case this. Yeah, give me the date. Give me the date.
Calendar.
What's Thursday, you guys?
September 28th?
It's the 23rd today.
Okay. So, oh, God, math.
29th?
Oh, man. Oh, between all of us. That's embarrassing. Anyway.
Edit this part out, Alan.
The 28th. It is the 28th.
Okay, it is the 28th. Okay.
Jeremiah Moss, a.k.a.
Well, I might have to come back for that.
Griffin Hansberry.
There we go.
Is going to be reading here just the queer parts. Ooh. That's what he's promised us.
Ah, just the queer
parts.
We, Donnie and I, we met Griff when we were first starting out 5 years ago. And he and Rebecca Levy, his partner.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rebecca.
They were at the New York Art Book Fair, and we had a little booth there, and we're like, we're starting a cute queer bookstore.
Oh, that's great.
And they were totally into it, and we're like, that's so cute.
Early supporters.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, so the 28th,
he's going to be here.
And the website. Tell us the website.
BGSQD.com. So it's Bureau of General Services Queer Division, BGSQD.com.
Right.
I know it's a mouthful.
That's all right.
But if you
mouthfuls.
Put Bureau and Queer into Google, you'll find us.
It pretty much.
Yeah.
And you want to do that because the Bureau is always doing things. And mm-hmm. I want to thank Greg and Donnie, who is here in spirit. Well, that sounds like he's dead. I'm sorry. Donnie's not dead.
His
energy is here, though. But I just want to thank you guys for always allowing me space here.
That's what we're here for.
For the low or for the free. And, you know, this is the importance. As we sign off and get ready to wrap this up, I want to just talk briefly, and I want you to add here, the importance of queer spaces, the importance of Black spaces, the importance of women spaces in this time, and that they are under attack. And what type, since our dictator has risen to power, what sort of response have you seen? I've talked to people, and people said they've seen more people come into their spaces, they've seen less people come into their spaces. Are people more excited? What is the feel that you get?
I think people are more excited about it. I've seen more people. You know, it's kind of hard to measure these things, but
right.
And also to say why, you know,
right.
things are going up or down. But there's definitely more energy. I mean, people come in here and they talk. Part of what I do is therapy.
Yes.
Yeah. People come in here and they want
to
talk.
I feel like that's part of every job
these days.
These days, like everything.
I pass samples out at Whole Foods, and people want to tell me like how wonderful this tiny little thimble of tea is because their day has. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but we're getting a little.
This community space is about to close.
So the community space loves us, but they also want to go home.
Yeah, that's reality.
And so we're gonna wrap this up. But the importance of these spaces, I think, is especially in this time right now, is to be highlighted. And so this is why we definitely wanted to spend some time with you tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So everyone, if you're listening, there's plenty of ways to support us. You can support us and check out our extra spicy episodes on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. I have a fun PayPal where you can send me money. I need weed. And
does that work?
Oh, it sure does.
Really?
No, I mean,
we also need food.
We need
and rent.
Yes, we need food, and we need rent.
Yeah. We need life sustenance.
Yes,
so,
we need food, and we need rent. And
it's just funnier when you say weed.
It's just funnier when I say weed.
Right.
But no, I mean, people like the things that me and Heather do, and people want to give us money, and I just try to find ways to make that easy.
Yeah.
So you can find me on PayPal as well. You guys want to find the Bureau, and follow the Bureau and come buy a book and just support the spaces that support the people that you love, which is us.
And we also got some donating on the website. So yes, you can do that. BGSQD.com.
And we'll tweet out their information later, and you can find us at Too Spicy Podcast on Twitter.
The number two, the word spicy. Too Spicy Podcast.
Yes.
So, I've been Elsa.
And I'm Heather.
And we're signing off here with Greg. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love you.
Love you too.
Love you too. Bye.